How should the church deal with problems? It's not that we can just ignore them and hope that they'll go away. Because then, like an untreated wound, it's just going to get worse and cause more problems further down the line. So, what should we do? Well, as we see in our reading for this evening, the first thing we should do is ask if this is in fact a serious question. Because it is true, Christians, that there are some things where we can simply agree to disagree. I mean, Paul does talk about this in his letters. Sometimes a person can think one way, sometimes somebody can think a different way. And if that's the case, well, one should not despise the other or think himself superior to the other person. Questions like that can, in fact, be left up to the individual. We just have to be fully convinced that that is the truth. But before we say that all questions are indifferent, before we say that all questions can just be left up to the individual, we need to ask a different question. Does the answer to this question change or seriously affect something else? Especially if that something else is something that is critical to believe in order to be a Christian. If that's the case, then we can't just leave it up to the individual. Questions like that have to have an answer. Otherwise, it's going to cause more problems, and it may even lead us away from God. Take, for example, the question in our reading. They were dealing with whether the Gentiles should keep the Old Testament ceremonies like circumcision in order to be saved. And we might think at first glance that a question like that is fairly small, because on one hand, it makes a lot of sense. God commanded things like circumcision in the Old Testament. He commanded all of these different laws to be kept. So, why shouldn't we keep on doing them? And besides, well, the Jews would be scandalized if they didn't keep them, which would probably lead to other kinds of problems where people that they would want to reach with the gospel wouldn't want to listen at all. So yeah, at first glance, the question seems pretty small. Just have the Gentiles circumcised, have them keep the old laws, and then everything will be just fine. But when the church stopped to think about it, to think about the answer to that question, they realized that it was actually causing bigger problems than it solved. Because saying that a Gentile had to become a Jew in order to be saved, while the Jews didn't have to change anything in order to be saved, put the Gentiles lower in terms of salvation. It was making them into a kind of second-class citizen. And that was a problem because it was obvious that God was not treating them in that way. God was not treating them as second class. They were receiving the Spirit just like the Jews and in exactly the same way. So in other words, answering the question in this way, thinking that it didn't matter, actually affected what it means to be saved. And that's not just something you can leave up to the individual. It's at the very heart of the Christian faith, even if it seems pretty harmless at first. So, okay, we've determined that our problem is a serious question. Well, what next? What should we do? Well, our reading shows us that we should deal with this question as the church. We shouldn't just leave it up to individuals to figure it out for themselves. That would be no different than before. Serious questions demand serious answers. And serious answers means we have to work together and to face the problem head on as the body of Christ. And we see that happening here in the book of Acts as well. Because the original problem that they were dealing with appears to have arisen first in Antioch. But instead of just saying that it's Antioch's problem, let them deal with it, the church gathered together in Jerusalem, to wrestle with the question and to solve it once and for all. They weren't going to leave Jerusalem until they figured it out. Now, Christians, I know we have a tendency to just talk things to death. We tend to argue over and over and over again without making any real progress. We'll just table it until the next meeting. We'll form a committee to talk about it and to study it, but we don't ever seem to gain any real ground. But I would argue that this is because we're not really dealing with this as the church. That rather what we're doing is we're insisting on our own way. That we're not gathering together in order to study the question. We're gathering together to try to convince others to listen to us, or at the very least, yell the loudest so that they have to listen to us. Coming together as the church means that we have to be willing to listen to one another, to actually listen to one another, and to be willing to change. Because take those former Pharisees in our reading as an example of this. I have no doubt that they meant well when they said the things that they said. They probably even thought it was the right thing to say. But through this meeting in Jerusalem, they changed their minds. They accepted this as the truth, so that everybody left that day as one body, as a unified church. And that's what we should be striving for as well. It is good for us to actually listen and to be willing to change. So when we gather together, Christians, we're not just there to share and compare opinions, as if we're just trying to find the best compromise or the most pragmatic solution to our problem. Rather, we should be there to study these things in the light of God's Word. Because it is only in God's Word that we will find the answers to our questions. Now, yes, it is true in our reading in Acts 15, Peter appeals to experience first. He talks about the things that God had been doing among the Gentiles, how he had been giving them the Spirit, and how all of these great things are being done, just like at Pentecost. And yeah, it's true that Paul and Barnabas also talk about their experiences preaching the gospel, talking about the miracles that happened and all the conversions that happened along the way. And in a way, that makes sense, because God was doing something big then, which means they needed a big change. The Gentiles being brought into the church was not a small thing. This was something that was changing forever the history of the church, and so that needed a great and an unmistakable sign. But even then, after all of that, James still points to what the Bible says. He says, starting in verse 13, "After they had finished speaking, James replied, 'Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written.'" And right after that, James goes on to quote the words of the prophet Amos. So in other words, what was happening was not something new, something totally unprecedented in the history of church. This is what God intended to do all along. If it was totally new, then it would not be true. But because it was grounded in the Word of God, they knew that it was right. The Scriptures pointed the way, because God's Word is the truth. And outside of the Bible, Christians, there is no authority, even in the church. When we settle our questions by the Bible, then there is no more question. But of course, that leads us to a last question. Well, if that's true, well, what do we do when we disagree about what the Bible says. I mean, so many people say so many different things about the Scriptures and what they mean. So how do we know who's right? How do we determine the truth when we can't even seem to agree what the Bible says? Now, it is true, we do not always understand the Bible. But that's not the Bible's fault. We need to be humble enough to admit that we are not perfect, that our understanding is incomplete. And if we disagree with what the Bible says, or disagree with what we think the Bible says, that's our problem, not the Bible's. So honestly, Christians, the best way to approach these things is to have a great deal of humility. The humility to recognize our shortcomings. The humility to actually listen to one another. And the humility to examine and re-examine ourselves in the light of the Scriptures, so that we would be willing even to change our minds if the Bible requires that we do so. Because the Bible never makes mistakes. We sinful humans make mistakes. And it's only that kind of humility is something that only comes as a gift of the Holy Spirit. So that through Him and Him alone will we find the willingness to maintain true unity in the bond of peace. We must be the Christians that we have been called to be as we seek the answer to our questions, so that God will lead us into true unity through His Word in Jesus Christ, His Son. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, lead us into all truth through Your Holy Word, because Your Word alone is truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.